Thanks for joining me for part two of our Reach One series. Again, this lesson is part of a three-part course on evangelism at Christian Assembly, and today we'll focus on the importance of compassion when talking about our faith in Jesus. We'll look at the Bible, we'll consider how knowing others and listening to them and observing them all play important roles in how we talk to them about the good news of Jesus, so that they can understand why it is indeed such good news. Let's get started. Throughout the lesson, there might be times when you want to write something down. If you're not in a position to do that, feel free to just listen along and do the activity later at your convenience. Listen to this story from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Jesus, it says, entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." As you heard in the story, Jesus arrives in a particular town, and there's a man who is curious about Jesus. He is wondering who Jesus is. He's heard some things. And this man who's curious, he climbs a tree to get a better look at Jesus. And Jesus shows up, and what's the first thing that Jesus does as he passes under that tree? He looks up, and he calls Zacchaeus by name. He knew Zacchaeus' name. He knew him. He called him out of the tree and he said, "Come down from that tree because I have to be a guest in your house today." And so we see Jesus compassionately approaching this man who's curious about him. He's compassionately knowing this man. And then what we see in the story is while all the other people around Zacchaeus don't want to show him compassion, they want him to get the full wrath of God for all the wrong that he has done. But what we see is Jesus silently waiting to listen to how Zacchaeus responds. And it's only after Zacchaeus responds that then Jesus speaks to him about salvation. The important lesson, the important principle in that is that when you and I do evangelism, when we talk to others about the good news of Jesus in such a way that it might change their lives, we have to do it like Jesus did it. We have to do it with compassion. We need to know the person that we're talking to enough to know how to apply the good news to their life. So I want to share with you a couple of tools that I've used and others have used to just help us become more compassionate in our efforts of evangelism. The first one that I want to share with you is simply called the relational tree. Evangelism for you and I doesn't always have to look like sharing the gospel with strangers. Sometimes it will look that way. But oftentimes evangelism begins with people that we know. Again, we see this often in Scripture as an example. The disciples spread the gospel. They told others who they knew. They told their business partners. They told their brothers. They told their families. And so to begin there, this relational tree helps us to take a kind of vertical look at the relationships in our lives and take a careful look at who has God put in our lives and maybe is highlighting as someone who we want to approach and begin to share the love of God with in a way that opens the door for faith in the gospel. And so I'm going to walk you through this relational tree real quick. I want you to take a piece of paper and a pencil, and I want you to draw a box. And in that box, I want you to write the word work. And then I want you to draw another box, and in that box, write the word family. In a third box, I want you to write friends. In a fourth box, I want you to write neighbors. And in the fifth box, I want you to write business. And I want you to take a look at these five boxes. And once you have them drawn out and those words written in them, take a step back and write a name outside of each one of those boxes, a name of someone who fits in that part of your world. Maybe it's a coworker or a neighbor or a family member or a friend. Try to write at least one name under each box, the name of someone who you know needs to know Jesus. Once you have written names around those boxes, I want you to then take a moment and simply pray for the names that you've written down. So as you consider who God might be drawing your attention to and highlighting for you, listen to Tommy Walker's song, Speak to Me, and just let the words of this song focus your heart and mind and help you to listen to God speak to you about who He's put in front of you to share the gospel.
I am your servant. And I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me through your word, through your spirit. Speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. My heart is silent, my soul is longing. Oh, speak to me, Lord, speak. To me, speak to me through your word, through your spirit. Speak your words of life. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. I am listening, I am waiting. Speak. I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Back to the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus could have just passed right by that tree. There was no good reason for Jesus to look up in that tree and acknowledge Zacchaeus and call him by name. But you and I follow the example of Christ, and his example is to look around us and to see who is in our trees. Who are the people that God has put around us who are becoming curious about faith, curious about the gospel? The next question to ask is, how is the good news of Jesus good news for them? How do I communicate the love of God and all that God has done through Jesus Christ to them in such a way that they recognize that that indeed is good news? What is it that they are searching for? What is it they're hoping for? What are they afraid of? And how does the gospel of Jesus Christ speak to those longings that they have and those fears that they have? Know the person as best you can before you begin to apply the gospel so that you know how to apply the gospel. But in the rest of our time, I want to walk you through another spectrum of steps that people often take on their way to faith. The spectrum starts with something called apatheism. Apatheism is simply the attitude or the belief that it doesn't matter if God exists or not. It just doesn't make any difference in my life. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I don't care if God exists or not. That's apatheism, being simply apathetic about God. And for those of us who live with faith in God and have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's hard for us even to wrap our heads around how someone might live that way. But chances are you know someone who day to day lives exactly like that. The next step along the spectrum is atheism. That's a word more of us are familiar with. Atheism is not the apathy about God, but it's rather the decision that God does not exist. An atheist is someone who has given it thought. They've wondered about that, but they have concluded that God is not real and that we cannot know him. Along the spectrum, the next step is agnosticism. Agnosticism is the belief that we cannot know God. God might exist and he might not, but we just don't know. There's not enough evidence for that. The next step along the spectrum is called deism. Deism is the belief that God does exist, but we don't know him in a personal way. He's the intelligent design behind the universe, but that's as far as we're going to ever get. Past deism is theism. And theism is the belief that there is a God, or maybe there are multiple gods, and we can know God or the gods. We can know who he is or she is or who they are. This is the basis for Hinduism, for Judaism, and it's the beginning of Christianity to say we can know that there is a God and we can know who God is. But I believe that there is a further step on this faith spectrum that's represented by Jesus Christ himself. And in Jesus, we don't only know that there is a God and know who God is, but God has revealed himself to us and he knows who we are and desires to be in a personal relationship with us. And that is unique in Jesus, that God would show up and he would give his life, he would give a perfect life for us to receive the perfection of Christ so that we could be in an unbroken relationship with God. That's unique on the faith spectrum. And so I give you that spectrum so that you can consider the people in your life, maybe that person that got highlighted on the piece of paper earlier, so that you can think about them and know, where are they along the spectrum? Now, chances are you might not know the answer to that without talking to them. And so I would encourage you to begin there. Begin with a conversation that just sounds like this. What do you believe about God? How would you describe your faith background? What did you grow up believing about God? What do you believe about Him now? And listen, listen, and listen so that you know who this person is, where they are in their journey of faith along that spectrum. Once you know that, you can ask further questions that might stir them on to the next. If it's a person who's apathetic about God, you might ask them the question, what could cause you, what would ever inspire you to care or to wonder about the question of God? Find out where they are on that spectrum. I want to leave you with two stories. There's a man named Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is a professor at Oxford. He's a scientist. He's a very intelligent person. And Richard Dawkins believes that the world would be better off if we would all stop having faith in God. And he was in an interview with a British journalist. And this British journalist was a self-proclaimed agnostic. And he told Richard Dawkins that. He told them that he was someone who thought that we couldn't know if God existed or not. And this journalist pressed Dawkins on his atheist position and basically questioned his arrogance to say, how can you know emphatically that there is no God? Isn't that an arrogant claim to make? And Dawkins, in this interview, responds to say, yes, maybe it is too arrogant. Maybe I'm not an atheist. Maybe I am an agnostic. It just doesn't seem plausible that there is a God. But I guess I can't say I know for certain that there is no God. That's a profound example of someone moving along the spectrum. A man like Richard Dawkins, a self-proclaimed atheist, opened the window just a crack to the possibility that there is a God. I know another friend who I met at Lucky Baldwin's, one of our Thursday night conversations about Jesus. And this young man was from a Jewish background. He would consider himself a theist. He believed that there is a God and that we can know who God is. But he didn't have a personal relationship with God, didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And we sat together and we talked about Jesus and we talked about the uniqueness of the gospel. And I asked him if he would be willing to consider that maybe Jesus Christ really is who he said he was. I asked him if he would consider praying and asking God to show that to him. And his response was surprising to me. His response was to say, I don't know if I can do that. I'm too afraid to pray a prayer like that. I asked him, why are you afraid to pray a prayer like that? And he said, because I think if I pray that prayer, that my life will change. And I'm not sure I'm ready for my life to change in that way. I think that guy encountered the truth about Christ, that God has come not just to save us, to bring about transformation in our lives. We do indeed change when we receive the gospel. And my hope for that friend of mine is that he continues to press on in that spectrum to become someone who doesn't just believe in God, but someone who puts his faith in Jesus Christ. Well, compassion is all about listening well. It's about knowing the person and knowing how to apply the best news about Jesus. And so I hope this video is helpful. We have one more to go on the topic of competence, and I hope that you'll have a chance to watch that one as well. Every tribe and every tongue, and it's your will.